Nothing more reveals the heart of God than when Jesus Christ is dying on a cross bearing the sins of the whole world, that the two things that preoccupy his mind are the salvation of one sinner and the care of one widow. There is the heart of God, a heart of compassion toward sinners and those women in need.
Statistics say that most wives will outlive their husbands. You probably already know that just by looking at your own family and your friends' families. But something you may not know is God has a special concern for meeting the needs of widows. Question is, what are the implications for you, and what is the church's responsibility? Today on Grace to You, John MacArthur shows you why the answers to those questions are critically important for your church and your own family. Find out what Scripture says about caring for widows. And that's the title of John's study that he launches today. Well, John, to start, this subject of what God's Word says about caring for widows, it's something that we don't hear much about in churches today. And why is that?
Well, maybe that's because the trend in the church is so completely directed at young people. You know, all we ever hear about when we get on the cutting edge of people talking about church and church life and church growth is the millennials, and everything is geared to young people. You could argue, and some have in pretty substantial ways, that the juvenilization of the church has been going on for the last 10 years, and that the church is designed for 20-somethings or even younger. Not a lot of interest in widows, not a lot of interest in adults. You could make a pretty strong case that the church is not any longer an adult spiritual experience. So caring for widows, however, is what is commanded of us in Scripture. And it's just a really sort of counterculture thing to do a series like this, but critically important because they're on the heart of the Lord. That's why he says so much about them. And I think most people are going to be frankly surprised at how explicit and thorough the instruction with regard to the church's care of widows is. We're going to be doing this series called Caring for Widows, and it comes from 1 Timothy 5:3-16. That whole passage is directed at caring for widows. There's no shortage of widows in churches today. There's no shortage of widows in the community. And there are essentially not only widows by death, but virtual widows through divorce or abandonment. And what the Scripture says about them is absolutely essential. This isn't doctrine for doctrine's sake. We're talking about people. We're talking about women who need to be cared for by the church when they are put in a position that there is no man to look after their needs and to care for them. This is instruction to the church. We're going to talk about a widow indeed. What is such as a widow indeed? How do we understand that, and how do we step in to do what God wants us to do? Don't miss a day of this practical study.
Already you probably have someone in mind, some precious woman who has lost her husband, maybe recently, maybe many years ago. Well, stay with us on today's Grace to You as John MacArthur shows you how to reach out to her and fulfill God's command to care for widows. Here's John with today's lesson.
Open your Bible to our study of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and beginning at verse 3, a section on widows in the church. It may seem at the very outset that that's a rather small subject, a rather insignificant subject, certainly not one of the weightier subjects that ought to occupy our minds. But just the opposite is true. It is a very important subject. It is a very far-reaching subject. In fact, Paul speaks to this issue from verse 3 all the way through verse 16, a very prolonged discussion of the matter of widows in the church. It is for the instruction of Timothy, who is giving leadership to the church at Ephesus. It is for the instruction of any church. It is for our instruction as well, and we shall note that as we study the passage. Let me begin our thinking by saying that always, always, without exception in God's design, women are to be the special object of care. Women are to be the object of provision and preservation and protection. God tells us in Scripture that woman is the weaker vessel. Men, then the stronger vessel, is her protector. She is to be under the umbrella of male protection, provision, authority, and direction. Because of this, widows, women without a husband, women who have lost their husband and therefore their means of support, are very special concerns of the heart of God. He takes a great interest in protective care relative to a woman who has lost her husband. The other group of people who come into the unusual protective care of God would be orphans. And as I read in Psalm 68, He is the father of the fatherless and He is the judge of the widows. He is particularly concerned to protect those who have lost their protection, their preservation, and their provision. Children, as you well know, are to be under the care, leadership, and protection of their parents. When a child loses that, that child becomes the object of special compassion on the part of God. Women also are to be under the protection and care of their husbands or their fathers. And when they lose those opportunities and those privileges and that area of protection, God then takes up their case. Widows then, by God's design, are uniquely His concern. They receive from Him sincere pity and merciful treatment, and all those people who name the name of God and identify with Him should so treat widows in a manner that would be consistent with how God treats them. I might add as a footnote here that women are nowhere in Scripture ever seen to be providers for themselves. There are those women who are enterprising and justifiably so, but women are always seen as the ones for whom provision is made, for whom protection is given. The women are those who are the weaker vessel in need of a stronger vessel to complement their life. In fact, when a woman is widowed, if we were to look at the Old Testament, for example, we would find that God takes up their case in a very unique way. He blesses those who bless widows, and He curses those who curse widows. If you read Deuteronomy 27:19, you will read a curse from God on those who abuse widows. If you read Isaiah 1:17-18 and Jeremiah 22:3-4 and many other scriptures, you will find a blessing pronounced on those who bless widows or who properly care for them. In Exodus 22:23, God says, when widows cry out and no one hears their cry, He says, I will hear your cry. God knows, and God comes to the assistance of such a person. It is by God's design, then, that women are to be protected. And when they lose their human protection, God becomes their unique protector. But also we learn from Scripture that the ideal future for a widow is remarriage. The Old Testament indicates that when a woman is widowed, she has every right to remarry. In fact, we shall learn in this passage that younger widows who are under 60 years of age are encouraged to marry again. Why? Because it is God's design for a woman to be protected, preserved, cared for, nurtured, supported, and supplied by a man. Where there was no remarriage, where that was delayed, or where that was impossible in the Old Testament, a widow could stay in her father's house. Genesis 38:11 gives us an illustration of this, and there she would come under the protection of her own father, if that were the case. Or a widow could stay under the protection of her mother-in-law's house, her father-in-law. Also indicated to us by the illustration of Ruth in chapter 1, verse 16 of the book of Ruth, where she chose to go into the house of her mother-in-law to find provision and protection there. Furthermore, under a provision in the Old Testament called levirate marriage, when a woman was widowed, it was Jewish law that the brother of her dead husband should marry her, or if indeed that brother had already been married, the next of kin who was not married would then marry the widow in order to raise up godly seed and in order to bring her under care and protection. Such is illustrated in Genesis 38:11 and given instruction in Deuteronomy 25:5-10, and also the example is given us of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz, being the next of kin of Ruth's dead husband, took up her cause, married her, became her husband and her protector and provider. So in the Old Testament, we find then two major ideas regarding the widow. One, when a woman is bereft of a husband, she becomes the special care of God. Two, she is encouraged to find shelter in another marriage for the protection that is there, or in the home of a relative where she can find the proper kind of support. In the New Testament, we find also that our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates to us the heart of God toward widows. And I want you to look with me at a few passages before we come to 1 Timothy. Mark chapter 12 is a good place to start. Mark chapter 12. And this will just sort of tell us a bit about widows that we face in the New Testament time. Jesus, in verse 41 of Mark 12, sat opposite the treasury. That's the place where people came to give their money to the temple. They would put it in these receptacles that were attached to the wall, the court of the women. They would come into the temple treasury and put their offering in the proper receptacle for whatever offering they were bringing. And Jesus sat there and he watched the people put money into the treasury, and many that were rich put in much. And there came a certain poor widow. And here we get a little bit of a cultural insight into the state of widowhood at that time. Widows were poor. They were without means. So there were rarely gainfully employed widows because women were not given places of employment in that society. Customarily, a woman would find it very difficult to obtain some kind of self-employment. And so widows, if their husbands left them destitute and without means, were usually very poor. We are introduced to such a poor widow here. When she came to give her offering, she gave what amounts to a few cents, two mites, which add up to nothing but a penny. He called to him his disciples and said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they who have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And here we see the godliness and the devotion of this dear woman who, having nothing, gave it all. That's the spirit of generosity in the heart of one devoted to the worship of God. But we get the picture here of the poverty which was somewhat typical of widowhood in biblical times. It fell upon the synagogues and upon the people of God, Israel, in that day to do something to relieve this poverty of widows. And customarily, the synagogues would have a collection group that would go out every Friday morning and they would circle the city and collect goods and money from the various people, bringing it back on Friday afternoon, distributing it out to the widows before Friday night sundown, which began the Sabbath. And that's how they ministered the small amount that they did minister to the poor widows. But what we learn from the passage is the poverty of a widow and something of a widow's dependency on God. In Luke chapter 7, we look at another illustration, and we really get a very good insight into the heart of God related to widows in this particular record beginning in verse 11. It came to pass the next day after his healing the centurion's servant that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and many people. He came near to the gate of the city. Behold, there was a dead man carried out on a bier, which is a transported casket, usually carried on the shoulders of some men. And this is the thing you want to note. This man, this dead man, was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now, here is again a situation of desolation. This woman has lost her husband. She has not the support she needs from him. She does have one son, and undoubtedly this one son is really the one caring for his widowed mother. And I again emphasize that this is how God sees a woman, as the one to be protected, provided for, and preserved by a man. In this case, the son. But the son is dead, and this is the funeral of the son. So here is a woman who has lost her husband, and then she has lost her son. No man is left in that immediate family then to care for her. When the Lord saw her in verse 13, he had compassion on her. Why? Because God has an unusual compassion for those who are widows, a great heart of compassion for those who are without means of support and protection. He said to her, "Stop weeping." And he is touched, I might add, by compassion. He is touched by the burden of this woman without any male support. He came and touched the bier or the casket, and they that bore him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And that was the whole point. Jesus was so touched in his heart that this woman was without a man in her life to care for her and provide for her and support her, that he raised her son from the dead and gave the son to this woman. You will remember, I know, that Jesus on the cross only spoke directly to two people. One was a dying, wretched, sinful, vile criminal that he gathered into his arms in the grace of forgiveness, and the other was to John and to Mary, and what he did was commit his widowed mother into the care of his beloved disciple, because he knew that a woman should not be out from under the protection of a man. And Joseph was dead before, long before the cross. And now Jesus, who was the unique protector of his own mother, was dying, and he puts Mary into the care of John. The heart of God comes through in how the Lord speaks about a widow, how he treated his own widowed mother, and how he instructs through what we shall read in 1 Timothy, the church, to treat widows. But before we get to that, look at Acts chapter 6. The first ministry that developed in the early church was a ministry to widows. Apart from worship and evangelism, breaking of bread, the communion, the Lord's table, the ministry of the early church was a ministry to widows. They didn't have a lot of programs. They met for worship and prayer and the study of doctrine, and they evangelized the lost. And the one ministry that really appears first of all in the life of the early church is a widow's ministry, to show you the high priority of that, the church's obligation to take care of desolate women. Verse 1 of Acts 6, the church has been born, the number of disciples has multiplied, and there arose immediately a murmuring or a dispute among the Greeks against the Hebrews. Now, who are these? Well, the Hebrews would be the Jerusalem Jews, the Palestinian Jews, the Jews of the land of Israel. The Hellenists, or the Greeks, or the Grecian Jews, were those who lived outside of Palestine. They were the ones that were in the scattering, the dispersed Jews. They were the ones who had come to Jerusalem for the festivals and the feast days. But their homes were in the Roman Empire elsewhere. They were then Hellenistic Jews, Greek Jews. And then you had the Jerusalem Jews. Obviously, the early church had picked up the ministry of the synagogues and probably done it much more efficiently because of the love of Christ and the power of the Spirit and the true love that was generated in their hearts. And they were ministering to widows. That was a very natural thing. Nobody needed to design it. It just began to happen because it was necessary and it was an expression of the love of God. But apparently there was a bit of an injustice being given toward those Hellenistic Jews who had moved in, heard the gospel, been saved, and were now, at least for the time being, living in Jerusalem. Probably moved in with families that were resident there. Maybe some of them had just sort of pitched their tent in homes where Christians had let them stay. Maybe some of them were staying in inns or whatever. But they were there, and because they weren't really a part of the original community, perhaps they weren't as generous with them as they were with their own widows who were from Jerusalem. And so a dispute arose as to how the dole was being passed out to the widows. Now, what this tells us is that the first ministry that really developed spontaneously in the early church was the care of women who were widows. The disciples, the apostles, the 12 in verse 2, called together all the disciples, all the ones who were in the church, and they said, it is not fitting for us to leave the Word of God and serve meals. It's not going to be right for us to drop our teaching ministry and go out and try to serve these widows so that everybody gets the right amount. You look among you, verse 3, Get seven men of honest report who can be trusted, who won't steal the money they're supposed to give out, who won't steal the food they're supposed to be passing to the widows. Men of honesty, full of the Holy Spirit, so they'll have great sensitivity to evaluate every widow's need, full of wisdom so they can ascertain the situation. We need to appoint them over this business, and we'll go on with prayer and the ministry of the Word. And everybody liked that, and they chose Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. They laid hands on him, and they sent him out to do the ministry to widows. Again, I say to you, the first ministry developed apart from the normal worship, prayer, teaching, preaching, evangelizing of the church appears to be a ministry to widows, meeting their needs. Now go to the 9th chapter of Acts to a most fascinating account. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation Dorcas. Either name is fine. And this woman, the name means a deer or a gazelle. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Here is a Christian lady, a disciple, full of good works, and alms deed means charity, giving to people who were in need. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when she died, they washed the body and they laid it in an upper chamber. The Jews did not embalm. They just washed the body and put her upstairs in the home, and there would be a viewing and a mourning time and so forth. Lydda, the town where this occurred, was very near to Joppa. So the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent to him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Peter was nearby, and so they said, go get Peter and bring him here. Knowing that Peter had demonstrated the power of God, he had healed a man along with John at the Gate Beautiful, and maybe they felt that he could do something in regard to this lady. Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows, that's what you want to note, all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now, I don't know how many there were, but a significant group of widows. Here was a dear lady who used her resources to make clothing for widows. Again, what it points up, one, the destitution of widows, the lack of resource and the dependency on someone else. Two, the compassionate heart of Christians in the early church to reach out to those specific people. This lady, known for her good works and her alms deeds, had clothed the widows of her community. Verse 40, Peter put them all out. Now, he did that probably because of the confusion and chaos of all of them in there weeping. They were not hired mourners. They were really brokenhearted, and so it was easier to put them out than to try to stop their tears. So he put them out in order to hear his own prayer, I guess. And he kneeled down and prayed. And turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. This is the second resurrection that occurs in the New Testament to benefit widows. The first we saw in Luke's gospel in reference to the son of the widow of Nain. And again, you see the compassion of God toward the widow. And here, these dear widows, so brokenhearted, are comforted because this woman who is so dear to them and so necessary to them is raised from the dead in order to go on with her alms deeds, predominantly in their behalf. James chapter 1 sums it up for us. At the end of the first chapter in verse 27, he says this remarkable statement, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now that introduction could lead us to imagine all kinds of things. What is pure religion? What is undefiled religion? The answer is to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction. To visit the orphans and widows in their affliction. Now listen, beloved, all of this sums up to say, look, God has a special compassion, a special care, a special concern for the protection, preservation, provision of widows. Very basic. The early church shows that. Christ shows that. And so when Paul writes to Timothy here, he has this very lengthy section on the matter of widows, because by this time, of course, it is still a vital element of the church's life to care for widows. And I think, and I know you will as well as we study this, that it is still a vital area for the church's life. We have been committed to this in the past. We shall be committed to this in the future. And I personally believe, as we understand this passage, it is going to present greater opportunity for us in the future than we have ever imagined because of the conditions in the world in which we live. And I'll explain what I mean as we go along. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful again because we have been taken by your Spirit into the very presence of the ultimate teacher of the universe, your own self. And you have taught us words from your own lips through the inspired pen of Paul. And you have revealed your compassionate heart for widows and the desire for us as a church to support them when they are really destitute. And you have reminded us that we in the family demonstrate our godliness by how we requite our parents, how we give back some return to those who have given life and nurture to us. Help us, Lord, as individuals to live out these precepts in our own families, and as a church to take up the cause of those who are true widows with no resources, no families to support, and to do so with joy and the privilege of representing your heart in their behalf. We pray in the name of our dear Savior. Amen.
That's John MacArthur helping you develop biblical compassion for widows, a part of his current series here on Grace to You titled Caring for Widows. John is the featured teacher each day on this broadcast. He also serves as president of the Masters University and Seminary. Now, keep in mind that you can have this entire study on a 4-CD album with its practical application for all Christians. This series would make an ideal donation to your own church library. Pick up a copy of the study, Caring for Widows, as you contact us today. Order the CDs as you call 1-800-55-GRACE or order from the website gty.org. You may also download the messages from the study, Caring for Widows, free of charge in the MP3 or transcript format. That's online at gty.org. As you get in touch, please pick up a copy of our flagship resource, the MacArthur Study Bible. Scripture has all that we need for life and godliness, and this study Bible is a great tool to help make sure that you understand what you're reading and see Scripture's life-changing power in your own life. It's available in the English Standard, the New King James, and the New American Standard versions, as well as Spanish, Chinese, Arabic, and other non-English translations. Prices are reasonable. Shipping is free. Order your copy of the MacArthur Study Bible today. Call toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE or shop online at gty.org. Again, that web address, gty.org. For John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller, thanking you for tuning in today. Please come back tomorrow as John will continue looking at how your church can honor Christ by caring for widows. It's another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.